Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate is taken from 1 John, picking up where our epistle lesson left off, chapter 2, verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our hope in life and in death, as we live in this world, but not for it, fellow redeemed. We live in the age of so-called reality television. Our society seems infatuated with these supposedly unscripted programs presenting real-life drama in real-world situations. Call me a skeptic, but I find very little that's real in reality television. There was at one point a reality program entitled Doomsday Preppers. Maybe you saw it. It claimed to interview real people who were convinced that our society is about to come to an end for a variety of reasons like economic collapse, electromagnetic pulse, terrorist attacks, fuel shortages, war, and even disease. Since these individuals were convinced that society was about to collapse, they were prepping or preparing for that day, including stockpiling food, supplies, and underground bunkers. They were earnest and serious about preparing for the collapse of society. Frankly, I wish more people were concerned about preparing for the real doomsday, the day of judgment. But there is no reality program entitled Last Day Preppers. It seems that precious few are even seriously concerned about the coming day of God. It seems that what the Lord foretold through the Apostle Peter is all the more prevalent today. The Lord said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Reality program or not, there are a few who are prepping for the last day. And you are among them. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has promised that he will return to judge the living and the dead. He who died for sins also rose again the third day and will return in glory. It is our desire to remain strong in Christ in the midst of a crumbling world. Praise God that he has given us his word to prepare, to guide, and to direct us in this life. With that reminder, we meditate upon the words of the Apostle John, for they tell us how we can remain strong in the midst of a crumbling world. May God the Holy Spirit bless us that we take to heart these words and check and recheck our lives and our priorities. Amen. Do you remember the days that you attended confirmation? I know for some of you, a couple of decades or more have passed. I think even for me. When you think back on those days, were you a serious student? Did you do the best that you could, or did you just kind of do what you had to get by. I can speak for myself. I certainly didn't do my best. I did what I could to get by. Do you ever dust off your catechism and read through it again? Or is it still on the shelf where you put it when you no longer had to complete assignments inside of it? Let me urge you to dust it off. Because there are some gems and some treasures in there that need to be reviewed. Faith is a living thing that is either growing or weakening. We may be confirmed, but we should never stop learning and reviewing God's Word. In fact, it's the height of arrogance to imagine that we have mastered God's Word. The Holy Spirit directed the Apostle John to write the words of this epistle to those who believed in Jesus, who, we might say, had been confirmed in the faith, but still needed to be reminded and still needed to be encouraged. In this case, John wrote two classes of people, those who were older and those who were younger. Both needed to be encouraged because both faced the same dangers and spiritual temptations. We face the same. And so we seriously take these words to heart. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. In this first part of verse 14, the Holy Spirit speaks to those who have been around the block, so to speak. Some of you are like them. They had come to know, to believe in the one who is from the beginning. God had revealed himself to them through the word of the apostles and prophets. They had come to believe in the triune God who has existed from eternity. While they had known God for a long time, they still needed to be encouraged and strengthened. For this reason, the content of these short letters and the rest of the books of the New Testament have been given to us today to keep us in faith. May God keep you, fathers and mothers, you gray-haired and not so gray-haired, or middle-aged even, believers, in him who is from the beginning. But the Holy Spirit didn't only have words of encouragement for those who had been believers for a long time, also for those who had just begun their race. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. It's not uncommon for young men and young women to live as if they were indestructible, invincible. From time to time, young people will do foolish things because they simply don't think that anything bad will come of it or happen to them. When the Lord here through the apostle tells younger believers that they are strong, he's not trying to boost their self-esteem. He's not encouraging them to take their life into their own hands. He's not urging them to take pride in their own spiritual strength or willpower or faith. He's talking about the spiritual strength that they have because the Word of God has come to dwell within them. And you know that Word of God. Not merely the words on the page, but Jesus himself is the Word of God. If you want to be prepared for the last day, then don't beat your own chest or take pride in your strength of will or strength of faith. Instead, look to Jesus, the Word of life. He's your strength and the only inexhaustible source of spiritual life and power. In fact, that's what Jesus was getting at when he said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." It was only because the Word of God, Jesus, dwelt in them that they had overcome the wicked one. In the Word of God, they possess the tools to beat back the temptations and the attacks of the devil. The same tools have been given to us. This is why the most important task of fathers and mothers, pastors and teachers, is to raise young people who are strong in Christ. There's no better way to prepare your children for life in this world than to give them a Christian education, to teach them that God is their dear Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And even though they graduate from Sunday school and confirmation class and perhaps even go on to Emmanuel Lutheran High School and college, they will still need to be encouraged and built up day by day by their Savior Jesus. If you think that what's most important is that your children get along in this world, then let me urge you to remember the words of Jesus. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If your children are to be strong in the midst of a crumbling world, then above all, they need Christ. They need to know that their futures are well assured, not because they have a good job that has good benefits, but because Christ lived for them, died for them, and rose again. They need to be taught by the Holy Spirit to build their hopes not upon things that are passing away, but upon Him who endures forever. The Apostle John reminds us of our high station in life and our spiritual riches for one very good reason. Because Satan is working hard to tempt us to forfeit them for things of far lesser value. That's why we're warned, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now maybe when you hear these words, you think they're a little over the top, a little strong. Actually, they could be translated legitimately even stronger than this. These words could be legitimately translated, don't ever love this world or the things of the world. Does that mean I can't appreciate or even marvel at God's creation? Does that mean I can't look forward to the change of seasons? Does that mean that I can't love the park or fishing on the lake? Certainly not. These words don't forbid our appreciating God's creation or marveling at His wonderful works. When the Scripture speaks negatively of this world, it's warning instead about the sinful philosophies and the sinful activities that are prevalent in this fallen world. We're here being urged to avoid and even detest things which many practice. Why? Because as believers, we've been separated from sin and dedicated to God. We have been redeemed from slavery to sin at a tremendous price, cleansed of sin so that we do not return to wallow in it with our neighbors. The Apostle Paul said it like this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Instead of living like everyone else, our Savior God urges us to prove, to show by our living, what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We can't ride the fence on this. We can't claim to serve God's will and oppose it at the same time. We can't live for Christ and still live according to this world's principles. For you see, Jesus isn't just looking for a place in your life. He's looking to be your life. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, makes it clear exactly what he's warning us about. What he calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are things that lead us away from the Father and His Son, not to Him. What's most frightening is that the desire to follow after these things comes from within our own fallen natures. The lust or the desires of the flesh are the things that we see all around us all the time. On the television, in movies. God offers examples of such things in His Word when He says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Getting ahead in this world at the expense of the next is dangerous business. We're not only warned about the desires of the flesh, but also the lust and the desire of the eyes. An optometrist friend of mine says that more than 80% of all learning comes to us through our eyes. Our eyes are important, and it's important that we are careful about what we place before them. We're not only tempted by sin and by our sinful natures, we're also led to sin by the things that we see. And finally, we're warned about the pride of life. That's not just like the bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys still dies. It's trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to climb the social ladder, worrying more about what you have than who you are. Is this a temptation for us? Do you find yourself bitter because someone has something that you want? Do you covet the things of others? Remember what Jesus said. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Be thankful for? Yes. Take pride in? No. There's one thing we're to take pride in. And you know what it is. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. In the end, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life don't come to us from God, but from another nefarious place. These desires of the flesh are sin, and they're part of this world which is passing away. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Doomsday Prepper said one thing right. This world is passing away. But it won't help us to stockpile food and supplies in underground bunkers. When Christ comes in glory, all things will cease and all will come to stand before him. Those who have spent their lives pursuing sinful desires will pass from this world to eternal death. But he who does the will of God, that is, who trusts in his Son, Jesus Christ, will abide forever. They will escape this life and enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ. The same Savior who said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Therefore, if we will be prepared, let us stockpile his word. Safeguard every promise of his in our hearts. And may God grant us his grace that we continue in Christ and His Word, for then and only then will we be strong and prepared when doomsday arrives. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.